Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As we finish up our last chapter of Hebrews, I thought it'd be nice to kind of break up our study a little bit. And the Lord led me to this passage this morning. I'm grateful for the Lord's leading. I'm grateful for Him being able to tell us as His children, as His servant, what He wants us to do. And we have a God that does that. Jesus transforms our lives, and one of the ways that He does that is by teaching us and guiding us and instructing us in the way we should go. So today, as we get into God's Word, I want us to ask the Lord Jesus to do just that, to instruct us in His Word, to guide us in the path that He would have us to go, to help us understand what He wants to do in our lives, what it means to be transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to do just that. Lord, I am so grateful for Your instruction through Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit. I pray today, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to our hearts, that You would transform us, renew our minds, Lord. Give us understanding. Help us, deliver us from the blindness of our hearts, and enlighten us to Your truths this morning. Help us as we understand what Jesus does in our lives to embrace what He does in our lives, to embrace the transformation that He has in store for us, to look for that transformative power that comes through the resurrection of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we would, with open hearts and minds, accept Your will for our lives and Your Word today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's start by reading the first couple verses here in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should walk no longer in the as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Tim Hansel, in his book, When I Relax, I Feel Guilty, writes some insights of what most people want from God. He states this, he says, "I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of Him to make me love black men or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not the new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please." There's a wonderful point in that. There's a wonderful point in that. We want God to be like a soothing elixir to us. We want Him to be what we want Him to be. We want Him to be something that is like a calming effect on our lives. We want Him to be someone that takes away our problems. We want enough of God that He will help us, but not transform us. Well, that's not how the Lord operates. That's not how He infiltrates our lives. When you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, your Creator, He transforms you. He transforms you by His grace. He infiltrates your life and he transforms your life. Jesus wants to make a radical transformation in your life. He wants to make a radical transformation in your life. As we look at this passage, I am struck once again by the fact that a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ involves a radical change of our entire being. This transformation is both immediate and ongoing in the life of a disciple of Christ. The more I go along in my walk with Christ, the more I realize that my transformation may have been dramatic at the start of my life because my life was a mess. But now, as I go along, I see the transformation that he's making may not seem as obvious, but it is fundamental and deep. It is deep. And it is something that he is continuing to do in my life. And we'll see as he infiltrates our mind and our spirit and our heart, we'll see that that's exactly what he does. He keeps digging up the ground of our hearts and our minds and plowing them and planting them to produce the fruit of his spirit. And that transformation is a continuous process. When we trust Jesus as our Savior and Lord, he immediately changes our mind by enlightening us to the truth about this world and our sin condition. When you accept Christ as your Savior, he makes you realize you are a sinner. He makes you understand that you have a condition that needs to be solved, that needs to be reconciled. And he enlightens you to the one thing that can solve your sin problem: the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, that he shed on the cross when he died on the cross. And then 3 days later, he rose again. You see, it's because of that wonderful work of Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven. And that condition that we were in, we were enlightened to by the transforming power of Almighty God. Our heart becomes receptive to his will when we accept Christ in our lives. No longer are we resistant to what he has to say to us and what he wants for our lives, but now we embrace what he has for us and what he wants for our lives. This starts this transformative process in our lives, and the result is some immediate adjustments to our way of life. But the transformation does not end with the immediate. As a matter of fact, that is only the beginning of an ongoing transformation process in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, after this passage, in verses 25 and forward, Paul addresses a significant list of character traits that will transform us into the people Jesus wants us to be. So in this passage, he is preparing us to embrace the transformation described in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we are transformed by Jesus. First of all, we are transformed because Jesus delivered us from a destitute state. Now, in embracing transformation, we must keep in mind our condition before we had Jesus in our lives. This is why the Apostle Paul reminds the people at Ephesus what their condition was before they came to Christ, when they walked in the futility of their mind. You know, I stay away from eating ice cream and greasy foods late at night because I remember the condition that they put me in when I did that. When I remember what condition I was in, I want to avoid doing that again. When we remember the condition we were in when we were in those sins in the futility of our mind, it makes us realize, hey, I want to avoid those things. So the Apostle Paul reminds us of the condition we were in before we accepted Christ, so that we will be willing to stay away from those things that harmed us in the past. Let's look at our condition before Jesus transformed us. It says in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." First of all, our minds were filled with useless thoughts and lacked the ability to perceive truth. Our minds were consumed with useless thoughts, and we lacked the ability to perceive truth. Understand that. Understand, without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ working in you, your thoughts are futile. Your thoughts are futile. And you lack the ability to perceive truth. You ever wonder why some people, they just can't understand the truth? Why they refuse to accept what is right there in front of them? It's because their mind is blinded and they are walking in the darkness. They aren't capable of seeing the truth. There are times when the Lord, by His Spirit, opens up our eyes and allows us to see the truth. And it's at those times when we need to embrace Christ. And that's how we did it, right? When we accepted Christ as our Savior, He opened up our eyes to the truth of the gospel. And we accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And when we did that, then He continued to open up our eyes. But those that aren't open, that the Lord hasn't opened up their eyes, they're blinded to the truth. And because of their blindness, they only think futile thoughts. There's no thoughts with regard to eternal value. Their thoughts may even be on something good, but their thoughts don't have any significance or eternal value, because they're not being guided by the truth of the gospel. And so there is this idea and this truth that God transformed us by enlightening us, by giving us the ability to perceive truth. And that's what we see here. Our minds were enlightened to truth. Then, before we accepted Christ, we were separated from experiencing a personal relationship with God. Notice verse 18. It says, "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Now, here's a dynamic. The dynamic between us being ignorant and God, who wants to enlighten us. Now, there's a lot of theology involved in this dynamic, but I want you to understand this about God. If you reject God's prodding, and I believe God prods all of us, not all the time, but I believe God prods all of us. If you reject that, well, God's not going to say, okay, I'm just going to force you to understand what I'm saying. No. He's going to say, okay, don't want to listen to me right now? Maybe another time. He's long-suffering. That's what the Bible says. So He leaves us to our own devices for a while, and our hearts get hardened. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what it says in Romans 1 as well. So then He comes back again. He says, hey, you ready to be enlightened? Do you want to see what I have in store for you? And then we have another opportunity. And that's how it happens. And if someone who loves you and loves Jesus is praying for you, then there'll be more times where God comes and knocks on your heart door. That's why we should pray for our lost loved ones. That's why we should pray for them. But once we say, Lord, I want you in my life. I want you in my life. Then you experience the personal relationship and the life of God in you. That's what we want. That's what we get. And when you have that personal relationship and God's life being revealed to you, it's going to transform you. It's going to transform you. So that's one of the other things. Our hearts also were darkened to the point of moral insensitivity. Look at verses 18 and 19 again. It says, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You see, when you reject the prodding of God, when you reject the revealing of God in creation, by the Spirit, by the Word, your heart gets so hard that you can do wicked deeds without any without feeling a burden of guilt for those things. Because you have seared your conscience. And so there's some of this going on in the lives of people who don't accept Christ. And this was going on in our hearts before we accepted Christ. To one degree or another, we were morally insensitive to the point where we were okay with some sin in our lives. And we see this in our world today. We see it becoming increasingly prominent where people are okay with sins that weren't so good in the past in our society, but always been accepted by those who had rejected the prodding of the Lord. Now, not only that, because our minds and our hearts were in this condition in the past, we gave our bodies up to sinful living. And that's what we see. That's the result of a life without the Lord Jesus. A life of sinful living. But praise God, we have been transformed by the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice that our entire being, mind, body, and spirit, or heart, are addressed here. A genuine relationship with Jesus is going to involve the transformation of our entire being. I want to give you an example. Charlene Cothran is the publisher of Venus Magazine, which is a periodical for lesbians of African descent. She recently announced on the magazine's website that she has become a Christian and has rejected the lesbian lifestyle she has been living. Catherine said that as a magazine publisher, she has had the opportunity to address thousands of people publicly, influencing homosexuals to come out of the closet. Now, she says, she must come out of the closet again. She said, the Spirit of God spoke directly unto my soul and said, you will choose this day who you will serve, and if you make the wrong choice, I will allow you to drift so far from me that you will never hear my voice again. I gave God my heart and soul in the parking lot of the mall, right there in my car. A river of tears flowed as Jesus washed me and forgave me and redeemed me for his work. Catherine continued her work in the homosexual community, but she has changed her mission. She said, I intend to be just as out about my transformation as I was about my lesbian life. I have given every gift I have back to God, including Venus magazine. The target audience will remain the same, but the mission has been renewed. Our new mission is to encourage, educate, and assist those in the homosexual life who want to change but can't find a way out. Now, this is an amazing story of how God, by His grace, through the Holy Spirit, and because of Jesus Christ, her life was completely transformed. But I want you to see how she was transformed. Notice what happened to her when she received Jesus as her Savior. Her mind was enlightened to the truth about sin, judgment, and righteousness. No longer did she see the sin of sexual perversion as something that was good, but something that was sinful. You see, she was enlightened to the truth. She was enlightened to the truth about sin and about what it does to people and how it hurts their lives. Her heart had been softened by the forgiveness she experienced in knowing God. Now, this is something, as Christians, we need to realize about our relationship with Christ. Yes, He enlightens us to the sinfulness of sin, to the darkness of sin, but He also softens our heart to those who are blinded by it. He softens our heart to those who are blinded by it. Christians many times get a bad rap, and sometimes justifiably, because we confuse the darkness of sin with how we should react to sin. We confuse the darkness of sin with how we should react to sin. We should react to sin with a heart that is broken for those who are involved in it, and reach out to them in love so that they can understand, like this lady understood, that sin was bad. And that's how we need to react. We need to react with a heart that has been transformed by Jesus because of our love, that the love that He showed us when we were in sin. And that will reflect in how we approach others that are in sin. This is what Jesus does for all of us. Her actions also in her body changed. Excuse me. Her actions in her body changed to conform to God's will for her life. So there was a transformation of her mind, a transformation of her heart, and a transformation of her body. An entire transformation took place. And that's what happens when Jesus Christ comes into our lives. He completely transforms us. This is what Jesus does for all who trust in Him as Lord and Savior. He delivered us from a destitute state. So let's embrace this transformation process Jesus has for us, because He has delivered us from a destitute state. Look at verse 20 and 21. It says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if you indeed have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." The next thing I want us to understand, we are transformed because Jesus reveals truth to us. We are transformed because Jesus reveals truth to us. When we are in a personal relationship with Jesus, He reveals truth to us by, quote, schooling us. I call it schooling. Notice we learn, it says we learn, and are taught by hearing Him. This is why I put John 10:27 in here. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You see, we learn by Jesus because He sent His Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, the Guide, to speak to us. And when he speaks to us, we hear him and we're transformed by what we hear. When we hear him, we're transformed by what we hear. You see, we communicate with God and he communicates with us. And when he communicates with us, he's able to instruct us in how he wants to transform us. That's something that we need to remember. Brian Brown tells the story of being at a community pool with his family. Kids were screaming, playing, and splashing in the pool. Music was playing. The lifeguard whistles were blowing. And in the midst of the conversation, his wife shushes him. He said, "What are you doing?" "Shh, did you hear that?" "Hear what?" he said. "Listen." And over all that noise, she heard their youngest daughter screaming. As she listened to it, she said, "Okay, everything's all right. That's a happy scream." He said he was blown away by that. Over all the other voices, she not only recognized her child's voice, but was able to identify what type of scream it was. Why? Because every day she talked with them, and in the process, she learned the sounds of their voices. You know what? When you talk with Jesus every day, when you listen to his voice every day, you recognize that voice. And you can hear it over all the other noises in the world. You can hear it over all the other noises in the world. And that's what we have with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what transforms us. It's that wonderful voice of the Lord Jesus that instructs us and teaches us. You see, as we communicate with Jesus in prayer and in reading the Bible and in being with him, he trains us. As we learn from him, we can act according to the truths he reveals to us. And that's what I want us to remember. Finally, we are transformed because Jesus created a way of life that makes us look like him. We are transformed because Jesus created a way of life that makes us look like him. Look at verse 22. It says, "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in your mind, in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." You see, Jesus created a way of life that makes us look like him. Jesus has created a whole new way of life that transforms our mind, body, and spirit. The result is a lifestyle that imitates his life. In order for this transformation to take place, there is an ongoing process going on in your life. That process is described here in these verses. First, we must put off the old man, the old ways. You know, there's the principle of taking away and putting in the Bible. We are transformed by taking away the old garbage that was in our lives and putting in the good that God wants in our lives. And so the first thing we must do is put away the old man. Recognize the old ways that you had are deceitful. They deceived you. They led you down a path of destruction. They promise fulfillment, but they give you nothing. And that's what we need to avoid. We need to avoid that. Second, we must stay receptive to having our minds transformed by the truth. Embrace what God has for us. Embrace the learning and teaching that he has. What we think affects what we do. So we want our thoughts to be controlled by what we learn about Jesus Christ. So we want our minds to be controlled by what we learn about the Lord, not what we've learned in the past in the world. We want to remove those thoughts and embrace the thoughts about Jesus Christ. The more we understand, Paul prayed that we would increase in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the peace and joy is, in our increased knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to put away the deceitful thoughts, and we want to put on the thoughts about Jesus Christ. And then we want to embrace the new lifestyle that Jesus has created to make you look like Himself. We want to embrace this new life. Don't be afraid of what God might call you to do. You know, His transformation can be intimidating. I will not try and downplay that. He is going to ask you to do some things that may be scary to you. But I want you to understand, whatever He asks, it is best for you. And He will help you accomplish what He calls you to do. Because that's what He's in the business of doing, transforming your life. And so embrace this transformation process. Embrace what Jesus says to you. Put on the new man that Jesus has created for you so that you can look like Him. Don't be like this guy. This is my final point, my final illustration, okay? There he stood in the midst of Golden Corral restaurant with Thousand Island dressing dripping from his hair, over his glasses, down his face, all over his jacket, pants, and shoes. And I'm not talking about a little bit of Thousand Island dressing. I'm talking about 2 gallons of it. What had happened was that a waitress carrying a 2-gallon container of Thousand Island dressing for the salad bar had paused for just a second while coming through the swinging doors of the kitchen, and the doors had caught her and knocked her forward, launching the 2 gallons of dressing all over this guy. Well, he went ballistic. He started shouting and cursing at her. "You're so stupid. I can't believe you could do such a stupid thing. This is a brand new suit and it cost me $300. His wife chimed in. "Yeah, you ruined my husband's suit. $300. It's the first time he had a chance to wear it." He screamed, "I want to see the manager." Thoroughly shaken, she went to get the manager. And the manager came out. Now this picture. Picture this. He's a guy with 2 gallons of Thousand Island dressing dripping from him. And the manager asks, "Is there a problem?" "Is there a problem, really?" The guy replies, "Is there a problem? She ruined my $300 suit. It's brand new and I want a new suit." The manager says, "We'll be glad to get your suit cleaned. Accidents do happen and we're really sorry about this." "No, no," he said. "I don't want my suit cleaned. I want a brand new suit. I demand a check for $300 right here and right now." Well, to avoid a bigger scene, the manager goes to the back office, writes out a check for $300, and brings it to him. And justice was served. There's one caveat to this. It was Sunday around 12:30 when it happened. Sunday afternoon around 12:30. Now, who goes to the restaurant at 12:30 in a suit on Sunday? Oh, Christians. You see, this man got a new suit, but he didn't get a new body from Christ. He didn't get the new body that Christ wanted him to have. That's what God wants for us. He wants to transform us so that even if we get 2 gallons of Thousand Island dressing dropped on our new suit, we act in a way that's completely different than the old man would have acted. That's the transformation that Christ wants to do in our lives. And he will do that as we embrace him transforming our mind, our heart, and our body.